A few weeks, we're going to be focusing on the review of our purpose statement as a community. And so our purpose statement is simple: to grow in our love for God as followers of Messiah Yeshua by our worship and study, so that we can then serve and encourage others, both in our synagogue and our greater Jewish community. So we have a unique purpose. All congregations have a unique purpose. I want to point out, and we'll mention it again in a moment, that our primary purpose is to help people grow in their relationship with God. All right? That is really all we're about. And everything flows out of that. So for instance, you'll notice I have our worship underlined. And that's because that's the emphasis in our expanded statement that follows. It says, through this congregation, we worship the God of Abraham through the service of our hearts and personal strengths. Now, the word worship is interesting. We're going to talk about it a little bit. But just to let you know, worship in Hebrew means avodah. And avodah means what? Yeah. Are you sweating? Are you sweating this morning? To worship the Lord is to there's physicality involved in it. You ever thought about that? There's emotion involved in it. There's effort involved in it. The fact that we say avodah, I know I think some people like that there's an English word, worship is worship, okay? But we're Jews, and so, and it, you know, we really, the concept is Hebrew, okay? It's not, you know, 15th century English. And so what is it that God desires? He desires our whole body effort in focusing on who he is. That's why in this statement, we talk about the service of our hearts and personal strengths. This morning, have you been worshiping? Have you been all in, focused on the Lord your God? Whether we're singing or reciting liturgy or chanting together or reading scripture, have you been all in? Or have you been a passive participant this morning? Now, I mentioned to people, I speak in a lot of churches, and I go to churches where the music is great. It's like a rock concert every Sunday morning. People that just are standing there listening. God doesn't want us to be passive participants in worship. The whole idea of a service is that we come together and corporately are all in, focused together, whether we're singing, whether we're reciting, whether we're reading, whether we're meditating, all in, exerting ourselves, whether intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, physically, worshiping the Lord our God. But I want to reemphasize, and I'm going to do this every single week. The purpose of this synagogue is to encourage all of us to grow in our love for God. That's what matters, to grow in our love for God, to grow in our commitment to him, to grow really fundamentally in our relationship with him. It's what God wants. He wants us to be ever more in relationship with him. Why should we love God? We love God because he loves us. Remember the guy at the baseball game or the football game? He always used to have John 3:16. As Jews, you're like, what the heck is John 3:16? We know now. Because God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Why? Because God loves us. God loves us. God wants to be in relationship with us. Do we want to be in relationship with him? God willing, you're here because you want to be in relationship with him. Now, how do we show God that we love him? We intentionally grow our relationship with him. Remember, we talked about this before. People argue being and doing. How do we show God that we love him? We're with him. All in. We're with him. We're talking with him. We're commiserating to him. We're complaining about life to him. We're rejoicing in his tremendous creation. I was looking for a video I could show about all these amazing things. All right? I saw a bunch of videos that had some great pictures, and I'm thinking, these just wouldn't work. But have you ever been someplace where all you do is just you're in awe of creation? Now, maybe you're in awe of creation just because you're looking around and you just can't believe how messed up the world is, but everything around you just seems wonderful today, you know? But maybe you demonstrate and show your love for God because you feel a burden to do some specific things. You're doing some stuff that you know God wants you to do. You're helping somebody in need, or you're telling somebody about faith, or you're reading your scriptures like religiously. I mean passionately, to understand and to know. You know, the doing and the being, it goes together. You cannot say, really, you love God, but don't want to spend any time with Him. That just makes you a religious person. In that basic, boring, sterile sense. You cannot be doing stuff for God unless you want to be in relationship with Him. Just be with Him. But you know what? You can't say you really love God and you're being with Him if you never do anything. You never read your scriptures and really never spend time doing anything reflective of God's instruction. That means that you have a faith but no works, as James says, and it's dead. You know, the being and the doing, they go together. That's an expression of love. As it says here in this text, Colossians 3, we looked at it last week. Therefore, if you've been raised up with the Messiah, keep seeking the things above where Messiah is sitting at the right hand of God. Focus your mind on things above. Not on things of the earth. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be looking around on earth either. Be focused on above. Everything in essence gets understood through the lens of eternity. Yay, the Bears won. I mean, maybe some of you care about that. Cubs lost. I'm like, okay with that. Bob, you okay with that? I don't think the roadblocks and the noise would stop. But think about it. There's nothing wrong with being a Cubby fan, with being a Bear fan. Nothing wrong with being zealous on your job. I was talking with somebody who sometimes I think just doesn't understand this. But you know what? Be all in your work. Be all in your life. Be all in your neighborhood. Just make sure it's all in through the lens of eternity. Seeing things above. Because that will lead to intentional growth in your relationship with God. It will just inevitably lead to intentional growth. Now, we all have a little problem called selective attention. This is a test. I would encourage you to pay close attention. It needs to be full screen. And you have the sound in.
This is a test of selective attention. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the basketball. How many passes did you count?
Right, how many passes, anybody?
The correct 12, answer 15. Is 15 passes.
How many got that right?
But did you see the gorilla?
Anybody see the gorilla? I can see a few of you playing that role very effectively.
This video is from research by Daniel Simon.
Interesting. Anybody see the gorilla besides Rich? Who's probably seen the video. I did not see the gorilla either the first time. That's why I like this video. We're going to be talking about worship. Okay, we're talking about worship. Do you know that worship demands focus, selective attention, focus, attention. You know, you read the revivals that take place post-exile under Ezra and Nehemiah. And those guys are standing for hours to read the scripture, to praise the Lord. You know, and they're all in. And, you know, requires a lot of attention. Imagine if Yeshua was right here, right now, and he was given the message, which would be much better than anything I would say. How focused would you be? How focused would you be? You'd be like, very focused. When it comes to worship, if we're really going to purposefully worship, we're going to have to keep a couple of things in mind. All right? You're going to have to keep a couple of things in mind. What is purposeful worship? Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 100. I was thinking, boy, what can I do to put all the Hebrew up there and yada, yada. I'm like, we're just going to go through it. Because we're going to continue that exercise, which we did last week on the announcement sheet. So I would encourage you to make some notes as we go through this. Psalm 100. Mizmor le'todah. A psalm of thanksgiving. I'm going to begin by looking at the first two verses. It begins by saying, this is page 673 in the Congregational Tanakh, so feel free to turn there. Starts by saying, shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Serve Adonai with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing. We're going to look at just those two verses. And I want to just point out a couple of things. First, purposeful worship is properly directed. Properly directed. All right? We have to make sure that when we are praying, that we are praying and worshiping the Lord our God. I'm reading a book on, just kind of a little bit of a sociological survey of the Jewish community and its religious practices today. And the typical non-Orthodox Jew, has in no way a biblical understanding of God. Isn't that shocking? The typical Christian today, this is also, I don't know about the guys at Moody, but the typical Christian, so I don't care if you're talking Catholic or Episcopalian or even Baptist, doesn't necessarily have a biblical understanding of God either. We have really shifted in this society. More than not, people believe in what is moral therapeutic deism. God is this benevolent grandfather figure who just loves me and will put up with me, no matter what I do. Right? We need to make sure that when we are worshiping God, that we recognize who he is based on the biblical text. We're directing our prayer purposefully toward him. Otherwise, we're creating idols. The other is we have to be purposefully our worship has to be purposefully, properly motivated. What is it? Why are we worshiping? Are we worshiping because we're recognizing who God is? Realizing he is the great king of the universe. Recognizing him for his holiness, his majesty. Recognizing that he is the one who has provided for us. He is the one that has kept us and sustained us. That's proper motivation. Improper motivation is just going to God like a gumball machine and hoping your prayers are like coins and that you put the coin in and you get another gumball, that God is the great provider of my baser desires, What does James say? You adulterers and adulteresses, you have not because you ask not, and you ask amiss. We need to have proper motivation. We need to make sure we have a proper understanding of where our prayers or our worship is focused. As part of this, we also have to really have in our attitude a sense of honor and respect for who God is. With the Amidah, it's interesting. And maybe you just don't know. It's in the Amidah. We're supposed to stand at attention. Because we are standing before God. That's the whole idea. Amidah is the standing prayer. Our physicality should match our heart's direction, which is the honoring and respecting of the great King of Kings. Hopefully when you come in for worship, you come into this community, into this sanctuary, to worship the great King. And to know that he's the great benevolent king. Because if you know who he is, you know he is a great benevolent king. But you come in respect. And as you're all in your worship, you're crying out to him and you're worshiping him for all these things in your mind and all that is reflected in the liturgy and in the scripture. But you're doing it from an approach where you really understand who he is. That's purposeful worship. If you're not doing that, then it's all just a waste of time. You know, I always think about some of the teens that have been here and they've sat in the pews and they've sung songs. But I mean, not all of them I know, but a few of them I know. And I just know for a few of them, it was just words. Just words. Don't just say words. Whether you're at home in your prayer time or whether you're in the congregation or where you're singing, be thoughtful and intent about what you're saying and how you're saying and who you're saying it to. Why do we worship? Why do we worship? Take a look at verse 3. It says, "Know that Adonai, he is God. It is he who has made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." We worship God because we need to acknowledge that the Lord is God. We worship God because we need to acknowledge him. That's why we worship. Hopefully you have that desire when you come here to think about who he is and just acknowledge him, recognize him. The other is we worship because we need to express our relationship to God who made us. You know, the Hebrew there is very interesting because as it says, it is he who made us and we are his. That's one way of understanding. It can also say it is he who made us. We didn't make ourselves. I like that one better. You and I are simply God's creation. And like a good created being, we recognize the Creator. Why worship? It's good for us. It's good for us. That's the third point. Because the creation benefits from being in this amazing relationship with the Creator. You know, I had to buy a brand new furnace. You know, that's one of the downsides of home ownership. So I had the guy come in because, you know, there was an issue. I had him come in. And he's not the creator. Bryant was the creator, the heating furnace manufacturer. But he came in and he fixed some stuff that was wrong. I had to have the guy who, in essence, was the creator interacting with the creation in order for the thing to function effectively. And when we realize that we are the creation, and we recognize that in order to function effectively, we need to be in relationship with the Creator, then we really understand the value of worship. It's in worship that we truly are able to connect with him in a way that ultimately leads to this relational interaction which grows and develops us as believers. Last thing I want to mention is how do we worship? How do we worship? Take a look again at the last two verses. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise him, bless his name. For Adonai is good, his loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." A couple of points. We worship by coming into a place set apart so we can focus on God. Why do we have a facility? Why do we have a place like this? It's so that we can come into this place. Hopefully you have a place like this at home where you can set everything aside. You can set your technology aside. You can set your work aside. You can set even family members aside to be alone with the Lord. In New Covenant, it talks about a closet. You know? Is there a place in your life besides this sanctuary, where you go and you're alone with the Lord? Is there a place in your life where you can go and you can just be with him, setting everything else aside? At the same time, when you come here, do you recognize this as sacred space? You know, we have a couple of small rules, you know. No food and nothing but water in here. No food, no coffee, no nothing. Why? So that this can be sacred space. You know, I mean, I joke with the kids, no running, you know, with the kids. But part of it for us as adults, really, because kids learn from adults, do we see this as sacred space? Sanctuary as well as the synagogue. One of the reasons that we went to Wearing Kippahs in the building for men is to emphasize the sacred element of the building. To come here, just not come into a club, but to come here, coming for the sake of worship. Worship. Connecting with the Lord our God. We worship God by putting out of our minds anything that will distract us. This is the hard thing in our day and age. Folks, we are constantly distracted. Technology constantly is distracting us. I love the new app for iOS because it tells you how much time it's distracting you. Have you noticed that? Anybody use that yet? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're doing it because there's pressure to do it. What do we need to do to enhance our worship that ultimately must lead also to putting away distractions? I don't know. It's an individual thing. It's something you'll have a chance to think about in a minute. All right? We worship God by singing, giving, serving, reading, and prayer. I'm telling you, you know, I think so often we think worship is just singing. It's not. Remember, it's service, avodah. And we are slaves, avodah, but Eved is a slave, right? And to consider that in all these different ways we can worship the Lord. When you read your scriptures, you're worshiping the Lord. When you're serving, doing ministry in the lives of individuals, you're worshiping the Lord. When you're giving, do you realize giving is a form of worship because it exercises faith and intentionality in your relationship with God? I think we sometimes have a very narrow understanding that worship is a song or two, stand up, sit down, and we're done. Worship is far more than that. Far more than that. In fact, we worship God by practically recognizing Him in the daily actions and needs of our lives. Daily. When you're on the job and you're praising the Lord your God despite the chaos of your environment, it's worship. It's worship. You know, when you're in the car and you're singing, even if it's out of tune, to some CD, that's worship. You know? I mean, when you are acting out some scriptural instruction in the lives of an individual simply for the sake of that individual, that's an act of worship. Making good choices instead of bad choices, intentionally choosing not to sin, is really an act of worship. We worship God by practically recognizing Him in the daily actions and needs of our lives. It's not just here. And we as a community want to encourage each other to worship the Lord daily, not just once a week here. Well, what I'd like us to do is to break in the pairs again, to take a couple of minutes and to write out under applications. God has demonstrated His love to you. How are you growing in your love for God? In Chavruta this morning, groups of two, consider three ways you each intentionally will seek to grow your love for God through your worship in this upcoming week. So get into groups of two. Get into groups of two, preferably not husbands and wives unless they really want to do it. You can do it if you want. It's okay. But get in groups of two and think about three ways you will intentionally seek to grow your love for God. Remember, because that's the key. Growing your love for God through worship.